Okay, hi. It's a small group, but still welcome to the talk. I'm going to give a presentation that that will explain to you how you can program simple applications using the GStreamer framework. It will be rather technical. Some of you attended the talk from Thomas earlier. Well, basically what he did with his scripts, I'm going to explain to you how you can do that yourself, how you can embed this into your application, and basically how you can write a media application using that. Okay, so first of all, I will give a general introduction to the whole topic, and then I'll start discussing the native C interface with GStreamer, how you can use XML in GStreamer, including a graphical editor. That's what Thomas showed earlier. It will get clearer when we get there. And after that, I'll show two high-level interfaces that that basically allow you to wrap the GStreamer functionalities, but in a very simple way, because GStreamer is fairly complicated. Okay. First of all, a short introduction. GStreamer, what is it? It's a multimedia framework. It allows you to build media applications. This can be basically anything having to do with audio, video. Think of CD players, CD rippers, audio, video recorders, players, metadata editors, I don't know, anything having to do with media. The thing is not that that these applications are hard to build on themselves. The thing is that GStreamer is hard to grasp if you're not used to it. Some people rather want to use a native C interface. And by using this, you basically make your own life complicated if you don't know what you're doing very well. So later on, I'll hopefully try to make you understand how you can use XML for this, so that you have a clear picture of what you're actually doing. Now, the goal of this is, of course, that you can build more applications and that you can have better applications that work better. And of course, the GStreamer will get better as well. Okay, so first of all, general principles of GStreamer and C interface. How does GStreamer work? We work with a low-level interface where we connect elements to each other. An example is given here. You have one element. This could, for example, be a file source. File source, it reads data off the disk. That's it. The second element could be an audio decoder, and the third element could be an interface to your sound cards. Now, if you connect this together, you have a sound application. Wonderful. The yellow things that you see here, they're pods. A pod handles incoming or outgoing data. If two pods are linked together, that's what the arrow indicates. Then it means that they've agreed upon a common media type to go over this pod connection. And it basically means that they understand each other. You could figure out that here there could be binary MP3 data streaming over. Then this could be an MP3 decoder. Now, it decodes data, so here you've got raw audio, uncompressed, going over to the audio output that outputs it to your sound card. Okay, this is a technical overview of a pipeline in GStreamer. Okay, so let's go over to our first application and see. That's what I do here. Okay, I've made the font quite big so that it's easy to see. Okay, what do we have here? First of all, we initialize the GStreamer library. That's what we do here. Okay, then we go over to creating a pipeline. A pipeline is a container of elements that we're going to use later on. Nothing special either. Okay. As I said, we're going to use three elements. We're going to make a simple audio player. So we have a file source. That's the first element. We use the object property setting on this to set the audio location. Secondly, we create a decoder, in this case an Ogfocus decoder. And lastly, we create an audio output via OSS. That's the OSS thing. The first argument for each of these GST element factory make functions, that's the plugin type that you're going to use. So that's Focus file or OSS sync. You'll get an overview of all the elements later on. And the second one is a free name that you can choose yourself. It's something with which you can recognize the element later on, for example, in debug outputs or in the XML files, where we'll get to next. Now, what we do then is we add the elements to the pipeline, the container. We link them together, and we start playing. What you get then is the following. Okay, I'm not sure whether it's actually using an MP3 or a Forbes thing here, so I'll have to guess. Okay, apparently it's using an Ogg Forbes decoder here. This is basically the simplest example of a GSM replication that you can find. I can actually try to turn up the volume a bit. Do you hear it? Okay, I'll turn it on. Okay, now this is basic media playback using GStreamer. Okay, I'll cut it off here. Okay, this is not that hard actually. I mean, you just create three elements, you link them together, you start playing. So if you know what you're doing, then the simple application won't be that hard. It gets hard, of course, if you want to do more difficult things. For example, you don't want an application that just plays data. You want something that shows what data is actually being played, and you want something that shows a slider, like how far am I in the song and how long is the song, and you want to seek in it and all that. Okay, so this will be a short overview of how you can do certain of those things. First of all, metadata. Metadata shows the title of the song, the outro, and all that. What elements do when they see metadata in a pipeline? Then they signal this over their object. There's a call for this in the gobject framework. Gobject signal, I think. What the application can then do is use gobject get, which is also a standard gobject framework call, with the metadata property. That's what we do here on the top. The result is a GST caps object. It's a name value pair, where the name is things like title, author, and then the values are the actual title and the actual author. So every media type can define its own properties inside this metadata thing, and then the application is responsible for parsing this into the graphical user interface or whatever you want. Okay, this, the second thing that I'm showing here is how you can make a simple slider kind of thing. What we use for this is querying. Query goes over a path. A path is something for input and output, as I explained earlier. What you can then query for is things like the total time of the whole song, or, well, the total size in bytes of the song, or whatever, but you're probably not interested in that, and the current position. So if you do this for time, which is what we do here, the total position and the current position, or the total length and the current position, that is, then you can make a slider with that. Basically, you need to call this after every cycle or so, and then after every cycle of the data, you can update your UI. Then you basically have a slider. Now, if you move this slider, you can use events. Events are used for seeking in GStreamer, and then you send an event back into the pipeline, in this case a seek event, and then it will go to a random location. And this location is, of course, the location that you choose. In this case, I choose 0, which is the beginning of the song, so with this call, I go back to the beginning of the song. If you attach this to the callback of your slider, then you've got the basic media player, which is how every media player works. Okay, I think I'll go back to the presentation then. Okay, I'm still here. The problem with this is that it looks easy at first sight, but you see that you have a lot of elements. You have to know the names of the elements. You have paths. You have to know the names of the paths. And basically, because you have so many elements, it's easy to lose track. If you're making a video player with which is what Julian is doing here, then you will have like 10 or 20 different elements that you might use. And you can probably imagine that you'll lose track there. So that is if you don't know what you're doing. We have a solution for that to get a visual overview of the pipeline that you're building. We call that GST Editor. Thomas has given a demo an hour ago, I think. That explains, that gives some things that you can achieve with this. I'll try to explain you how you can use the editor, how you can embed the XML files created with it into your application, and all that. Okay, so I'll just go over to the demo then of how you can use the editor. Okay, if you've installed it, it's located under the programming tools. And these are available from our website. You can download RPMs and all that. Okay, I think it's a bit small. Well, I'll just try to explain what I'm doing here. Okay, I'll make a source. I'm going to make the same media player again, but now using the XML interface. I create a file source element, which is here. The window that you see over here on your right, it shows all the properties of this GST element. These are things like the name, which is freely definable. This is actually why the name is important, because in here you can give it a unique name, and then if you save this to an XML file and load this into your application, then using this name, you can get a reference back to the object. I'll show that in the example that loads an XML file later on. But this name is getting important here. Okay, then the location, that's the location of the media file. Let's do some music. Okay, this is an org-forbis file, so what I'll create next is an org-forbis decoder that's located on our codec audio decoder. There, we've seen this element before. And lastly, again, an audio output. It's located under sync, audio, and then OSS sync. These arrows that I'm dragging, they're the connections between the elements. If you're trying to drag an arrow and it doesn't appear, then it means that elements can't be connected to each other. Okay, so I've created the same pipeline that I did earlier on, and let's try to set it to play. Okay, this is a different type of music. As you can see, I've now created an XML file that can do exactly the same. If you do this with larger applications, larger pipelines, basically, then this gets a lot faster than typing all in C. I mean, C is not suited for high-level stuff like this. And especially if you have static pipelines, then the editor is really useful. Also, the editor actually allows you to get a visual overview of what you're actually doing, and that's really useful. We also use the editor for debugging. You can from your application write the XML file of the pipeline that you're running. So if you have totally word crashes or whatever, then you just write it to an XML file, load it into the editor, and then you can actually see what you've done. You can see all the properties that you've set in the past, and you can play the pipeline also. So if it then looks weird, then you know, oh, I've done something wrong. Okay, of course, audio players aren't the only thing that you can do. You can also do visualization. Thomas has done this too in his talk. Let's see, visualization. There's visualization. So what I'm doing now is that I'm not outputting the audio data over to the audio card, but I'm moving it over to something that transforms audio into video. That's what visualization is. And then we output that to a video device. Let's see. Sync. Video. And the video sync. Okay, so the video sync is an XV output. I'm actually disabling XV here because it doesn't really help anyway. And in this case, in some systems, it will not work, like on mine. Okay, then what do you get? Well, you get this. You get somewhat weird-looking video, but this is basically the video representation of your pipeline. I can also try it with XV, and then you'll see that my laptop is acting weird then. Oh, no. That's not supposed to happen, but oh well. Okay, well, let's continue. This happened with Thomas as well. You can use this for trying to set up examples of pipelines that you actually want to run. For example, let's say that I don't want to make a media player, but a media transcoder. I can actually play around with this whole tool then to see how I would want my pipeline to look. A media transcoder, let's say that I want to transcode audio files from OrgForbis to FLAC. Does everyone know what FLAC is? It's free lossless audio codec. It's something that saves audio lossless, and some people think it's really cool. Okay, so I'll make a file source again, and I'll choose the same file that I chose a few moments ago. We've got the audio file now. I'm inserting a decoder again, OrgForbis in this case. Now instead of an audio output, I make an audio encoder. Plugin, I think. That's an FLAC encoder. And lastly, I'll make a file output. And the file output, I'll call it blah. Doesn't really matter. Okay, so now I've built a media transcoder. As you can see, you can quickly build freestyle pipelines with this whole thing. So instead of working on a command line with GFT launch, some of you might know that, this is much more user-friendly. And basically, if you just want to play with GStreamer, which you don't want to build a whole application, then this is the perfect way to start. It gives you all the functionality, but all the functionality, but without actually having to do any coding at all. Okay, now it has gone to pause, which means that the thing is finished. So let's try to play back this file, see if it worked. For that, I make a source, and this time an audio decoder FLUC. Here the file name that I just entered into the file output. And then lastly, the audio output again that we've seen before. Okay. This proves that it worked. So what does the XML things allow you to do is to do exactly the same task that you would achieve with the native C interface as well. The advantage of this is that it's about a zillion times as fast. So if I can go back into my presentation again. Why is this so cool? Well, because it's much easier than the CA API. As I said, applications can write XML files themselves as well from the pipeline they're using. We use that for debugging. And of course, they can read them. This reading, that's a really cool feature. It basically works a bit the same like Glade. Most of you will know Glade. Glade allows you to click together a graphical application. The editor allows you to click together a graphical pipeline. So if you load this into your application, then without having done any coding, you have your media player. How does this work? It's the last thing that I will discuss in the XML part. I don't need this one anymore. That's the third one. First of all, I initialize the GC library again. That's what GCT and it does. It's here. Then I create an XML object and I load XML file. In this case, I will run that from the command line, so it will be my first argument. After that, I can basically use it as if it was a native C application. So what I'm doing here is that I'm getting reference to the objects that I've created in the XML file. That's what the name does here. So the names in my XML file are pipeline 0, file source 0, etc. And with that, I can use the GObject framework calls on these objects again. So in this case, I've made my old audio player again. I'm using GObject set to set a location on these. And well, I set it to playing, and after that I stop it again. How does this look then? This is how you embed stuff into your application. Now, the use of this is basically the same as with Blade. You just make an XML file, which you use as some sort of a template, as a starting point. You load this into your application, and then you don't have to do all the initialization that you would have to do if you would use the C interface. And especially if you use large pipelines, then I'm sure you can understand that using XML files for this is much faster. And you don't lose any connectivity or any options with this, because you can use the C framework calls on the objects after loading them from the XML file. So the conclusion is that the XML framework in GStreamer, it allows you to develop like 100 times faster, and you don't lose any functionality. So this is very useful. Okay, but the problem here is still that we have to create all elements ourselves, so we actually need to do something, and we are lazy, so we don't want to do that. So let's try to go to something higher level. First example that I'll go over is Monkey Media. A higher level interface in this respect means that I just want to do one API call to the whole thing, and then let the thing sort it out altogether. So I just want to say, this is my file, go playing, and let it play. This is what Monkey Media allows you to do. It allows for audio file playback, CD playback, audio CD playback, and internet radio playback. This is, amongst others, used in Rhythmbox. So how does this work? That's this one. For this, there's a Monkey Media player object. It's an object that's basically a container of the whole pipeline that you're going to use. So it's comparable to GC pipeline, but it's contains some more information. Okay, so you create the object, the Monkey Media player object, after having initialized it first, by the way, I forgot that. And then you give it the file name, and you're done. That's what Monkey Media Player Open does. After that, well, what I do here is I connect to the EOS signal so that I can let the application quit when the end of the file has occurred. You can probably leave this away, and you probably want to load the next file in your playlist then, but that's minor nagging. Okay, after that, you play, and there we are. We have a media player, and as you can see, this only needs two or three API calls, basically. I mean, I just create the object, I load the file, and I set it to playing. That's really quick. So if you want to do anything that has to do with playback, then this is a lot quicker than doing it in the GStreamer native C interface, or, well, even quicker than the XML interface. Of course, the bad thing is that it is an extra dependency. So Monkey Media is a high-level thing that has an interface like Sign, for example, or MPlayer. This is probably what most people will want to use if they want to build their own media player. There's another interface that looks pretty much like it. It's libgcplay. Monkey Media is developed outside the GStreamer team. libgcplay is developed inside our team. It means that it's more closely integrated, and it doesn't use any libraries outside GStreamer for extra functionalities. For example, for metadata, Monkey Media uses extra libraries like libid3tag and these kind of things. libgcplay does it all using GStreamer. So this gets you some closer interaction with GStreamer as well. We'll see that in the example. It's used in GStreamer Player and Totem. Let's see, I'll go to the last part of the code examples here. Okay, I don't have to initialize any external libraries, so here I just initialize GStreamer again, which is what I do here. After that, I create a player object. The first argument, it is the type of the player that I'm going to create. Here I'm going to create a video player. You can also do audio player, then it leaves out the whole video initialization. What I do here is getting the values out of gconf for the audio output and video output. Normally, it would take care of this. It would take care of this itself. The good thing of doing this is that you allow the user to configure something using default GStream locations for these things inside the gconf registry. So using these calls is mostly a good idea. Okay, then here I do a small hack, which is just for the case of this example, you would normally not need that. What it does is it makes the Xvideo thing create a top level window. And normally you don't want that because you want to integrate the Xvideo window inside your application UI. And in this case, I don't want it because I'm just building a command line application. Okay, so what I do after that, I've initialized GStreamer and I've set a video and audio output. I'm setting the file name, which is what I do in GC play set location here. And I start playing. And here we use the same call again to stream media over the whole pipeline. What I get then is, let's see, anyone has a muse preference, maybe? And as you can see, in just as much effort as it took me to build a C application that can play back audio, I can create a whole video application just in libgst play. So this is probably a good idea of using. It's probably a good idea to use this kind of things if you want to build a video player. It will make sure that you're not doing anything that we've done already. You will not encounter the same problems that we've encountered, etc. So if you want to build a video application, libgst play is probably the way to go. That's why Tony uses it too. Okay, I'll go back to the end of my presentation now. What have I discussed here? I've discussed the C interface of GStreamer, after that how you can create XML files and how you can load this into your applications and why it's a good idea to do this. And I've gone over two higher level interfaces, Monk Media and libgst play. And I hope it's clear to you why you're supposed to use these instead of the native C interface. You might learn a bit less, but it's 100 times faster, and that's mostly what people care about. So, thanks to the GStreamer development team for creating all this, and thanks for your attention. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Yeah, question. How far are we actually from being able to actually draw a GUI in Glaze and make pipelines in the editor and actually create applications without actually programming any C at all?
You mean like Glaze GC editor and integration?
I mean, you create the pipelines in the editor and you create a GUI in Glaze, which gets actually being able to create a full media application without actually doing any coding shouldn't be that hard, eventually.
I see your point. It shouldn't be that hard to do that. Nothing has done in that direction, however.
You should just do it.
It's an interesting point. Basically, that's how things like BB tools work. It's a professional package for Windows that does exactly the same as GC editor and play. However, it's integrated. So. That is exactly what you want. It will be interesting to do that here as well. It's currently, you would have to write the connectivity code between GC editor and the Glade stuff. You would have to write that yourself. It would be interesting to integrate that, yes, but that hasn't been done. Any more questions? Thank you.